Amanda or Nate, please stop, or March, please stop me if I get it wrong, but basically what we've found is that what we decided to do to take care of some of the problem was three things. One was to remove the nonprofits from the equation in the USITA contract. So what we did was basically take funding from the original USITA contract, move that to the nonprofit line from our nonprofit grants contract that we were doing. So we basically took the two nonprofits and moved them into our nonprofit awards money bucket. You know, I know it's, I'm not saying that the right money line, let's say it that way. Then the second thing that we did was we basically broke the remainder of the money into two sections. One was the contracts that actually did accomplish the thresholds for all the different economics that we were looking for, and then there was the ones that were still affected by COVID but did not meet those thresholds. So that's what we did, is we basically pulled that out into two separate lines of money that we're going to be funding these with. So the question is, the question came up is, do we actually agree to fund all the contracts that we awarded but did not meet that that economic threshold? And what we have talked about, and I've talked with a lot of you separately, is that we felt that it was the right thing for us to do. We made the contracts, and we felt like it was right for us to actually move that forward. So that is resolution 437, right? And 436 is, so basically it's those two resolutions. So am I missing anything in that just overview there? No. Okay. So committee, everybody understands basically what that is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going to get pushback or not for saying yes to the contracts that we said yes to originally, but I feel like we did. I also feel like, you know, they would have a right to come back at us and say, you gave us a contract and you need to pay that. And I'd prefer that we go down that road. They were all affected by COVID. The small business relief money was for that purpose, and so I think that's the right move for us to do there. Questions about this? That all make sense? All right. So I would like to actually then just vote on the resolution. So so can I have a motion to discuss resolution 436?
Motion.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. So any questions on this one? This is amending the original contract which you see to downward to account for only the value of awards for qualifying small businesses under the program terms. That's exactly what this does. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, this passes. Motion to discuss resolution 437.
Motion.
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. So this is a new contract with USITA to cover the awards previously granted and subsequently deemed to not qualify under the ARPA Small Business and Economic Recovery Program. So a note about this contract is that it authorizes no admin fee for USITA. That's correct? Yes? Okay. So any questions on this one? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Did you have a question?
So there still is an admin fee under the old contract of about $42,000. It's going to be paid to USITA.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, we had agreed to that. And my understanding was also that the admin fee came down so that there was more award money for the small businesses. So thank you, USITA, for doing that. We appreciate that. All right. So we voted, all in favor, yes, we said yes, and, all right. So here's the question then. The question then arises of those companies that may have qualified but were basically knocked out of the running because the ones that were not qualified actually were funded. I'm personally hesitant to go down that road because I feel like it sort of opens a bit of a Pandora's box. Like, what if other folks say, wait a minute, I could have been qualified too, but I didn't even apply because I didn't think. So it's tricky, and it's also tricky because the executive put out messaging to that effect that we were going to do that. So I'd love to hear other people's thoughts on that.
I think you're right. I think it opens it up. We'll get more applications and we'll have money for it and have to turn people away anyway.
Yeah, and that there's a good question. Where's the money going to come from?
There it is.
You know, we don't have that. That hasn't been assigned, allocated, whatever we want to call it. It's not in our current mix of ARPA funds. And so we would have to go in and we would have to take from some other already allocated pot because we don't have that right now. I mean, we may. It probably will shake out that we will have some funds available, but at this moment, it's not. So we would have to go through process and steps to say, parks, for example. You know, we've still got X amount in parks. Are we going to release that? It's not held in any special fund or anything, but it has been allocated by us. And so we would have to then go back and say, we are going to take it out of here and we're going to now reallocate it for something else. I don't even know. I don't think we'd have to vote on it or it's not. Oh, we would.
We would
have to actually then pull it out. So we'd have to probably make a resolution saying we're going to move monies that were allocated for one project and move it to another project. So I just personally have a lot of questions, but I'd love to hear from other committee members. Love to hear from you all if you have thoughts about it. Yes.
I just think it is a Pandora's box. It's a slippery slope in terms of I think the idea of, you know, in theory of saying to these companies that were potentially going to be interested in putting in an application but then kind of figured out that they weren't eligible, how there's really no way for us to verify who was going to apply and like versus opening Pandora's box and having like a round two of for everybody to be able to throw their hat in for money. So there's really kind of no way of knowing honestly who was actually going to be putting in an application for round one.
Well, my understanding is we got the applications, and what happened was that there was a certain amount that were just
rejected
because others were approved. And so there is a full 220, I think, applications. Do we know what the number was? It was a large number. I can't remember how many. 180, something like that. So there was a large number, and out of that, then the 42 were awarded, and then so there's a whole bunch that just weren't awarded, and which of those got very close to the high mark but didn't quite get there because these other 21 that shouldn't have gotten there, that shouldn't have even been in the beginning, got the money instead. So I don't think we would have to actually like go back to the community, but I'm nervous that members of the community would come back to us and say, wait a minute now, you know, like, why isn't this open to everyone to apply for again? So
I think maybe if it's something, depending on what kind of excess funds that we ultimately do end up, depending on how things shake out, it's something that maybe we could put on the back burner to see if ultimately we, a year from now, maybe have the money that we would need to to know which of these businesses, you know, put in for and how much. And maybe we would be in a year from now able to, to reopen that for the folks that were not selected. But I don't think at this time it's probably in the best interest of the committee or of the county to be. I don't think that this is the right move at this time.
Got it. Thank you, Legislature Sperry.
Well, that's what I was going to say as well, because we had talked about from the beginning that like once, you know, a lot of these projects have a number and then they might not use all of the money that we're funding them for, so there might be left over, and so maybe that's an opportunity to look at some of the applications that were close and would have hit the requirements. But again, it's like that might be a year from now and they might not need it anymore. So
right, absolutely.
It's a chicken egg situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I hear Comptroller Gallagher in my head saying, we shouldn't even be in this business. Right.
So I'm happy to say that on the record, I don't support extending the county's dollars any further into this program, which, you know, meeting those other applicants who may have been rejected because certain non-LMI businesses were awarded would require additional funds being allocated. I don't support that. I don't support sending any new funds to USITA. I think that the USITA board has some governance and finance issues that have to be resolved and are being taken care of, but I don't think they're ready for that. And we definitely heard from at least two businesses that said they were under the impression that this was strictly an LMI program and did not apply because it was an LMI program. So I think you will hear from businesses in the community who are concerned that they would have applied anyway. So
right.
I'm relieved to hear you wait and see on it. And, you know, I just think that there's a lot of other needs in the county and a lot of other county needs. I mean, one of the things somebody raised to me today was, you know, where are the county parks on the list of parks that are being funded? You know, what are we putting into our own needs while we're meeting the needs of the towns and small businesses? So I'm pleased to hear you say that, and I appreciate you taking the time and looking for my comment. Thank you. Yes, I'm concerned that grants to small businesses are just not something that we are built for or designed to do, and that's why you saw this happen, is that it's not something that we normally do. Normally,
right.
when grants come to businesses in Ulster County, it is state money coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Thank you.
Tiffany, you take your Lavelle.
Really, what I wanted to speak to was just the non-eligible businesses, as far as just to paint a little bit of a picture as the extent I can with, you know, in kind of general terms. As far as there was a substantial variability in the income. So even though the screening criteria was 2021 LMI, which starts at the low end for a household of one, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was about $42,000, which is low considering Ulster County. The HUD numbers for 2023 have come up, you know, I know for a family four by $12,000, I think it was, looking at those today. So they're reflecting what kind of the economic climate has changed in Ulster County. So it was the 21 numbers that were used to set that bar that those businesses had to meet, basically, to be underneath to make those LMI levels.
Yeah, and then the range was 49,200 for a family of one, all the way up to 92,750 for a household of eight.
And of the 17 businesses that were ineligible, you know, kind of looking at it today, that mean AGI, it was around $116,000. And that there are joint applications in that, which would be considered as households of two. But again, just to give a sense of kind of who we were talking about as being ineligible businesses. Most of those, again, of the 17 awardees, four businesses were under $100,000. There were 10 businesses that were between $100,000 and $200,000. And there were three businesses that were in excess of $200,000 for AGI.
And there's one over $1 million.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that skews it, you know, just, and that's why I gave you the mean number there. But just so you understand that the bulk of them were, you know, this is the shape. You know, it's not up here as the average, it's down here. And again, another way that I was looking at this, just to, again, give you some comfort with who is being awarded money as non-LMI, there was one business where the grant sum award was less than 2% of the annual gross income, or the adjusted gross income, you know, the income number that was used. However, there was another business that was not qualifying for the award amount was 62% of the income that was provided. So even though they didn't meet the LMI criteria, that grant sum is a substantial amount of that annual income. So just to give some comfort around some of these grants.
You said 2%, I think. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Wouldn't it be higher than that if it was?
There, so that's outliers.
Okay, got it, got it.
Kind of.
Got it, okay. I'm with you. I'm with you.
The group there.
Okay.
So just as a, just to, you know, to understand that that 2021 LMI is pretty low.
Got it.
You know, as far as the income for those, the criteria and the evaluation.
And we had had a conversation about asking businesses that did not qualify for LMI if they would be willing to not accept the award. Are we still planning on doing that?
The plan still is in the letter, mm-hmm. kind of in the follow-up, is to state the evaluation, the determination that was made, and offer this other, if they are, they still desire to pursue funding.
Right.
The project, that then we can look at a new sub-recipient agreement. However, okay. you know, we've discussed this, and I think it's important to give them that opportunity to reflect on that,
mm-hmm.
That they were, didn't meet the
right.
income eligibility,
right.
and then have them determine if they're going to pursue that.
Got it. Okay. Anything from this end of the world here?
I don't have much to add. I'm very appreciative for all the work that has been done at many different levels on this. So that's first. And I do think it's probably worthy of a mention that on a new contract for the above, the non-LMI,
mm-hmm.
that may need to come, and the comptroller has made this point as well, that may need to come from the lost revenue designation of ARPA. So it's mm-hmm. just something to keep in mind with all.
So, are we clear on that or not? Because the whole purpose of this was relief from COVID. So, wouldn't those expenses still be in that same place, you know? And so, I don't know why it would have to come from lost revenue.
It's something I've looked at a bit. I can certainly look at it further. But particularly, yes, small businesses are beneficiaries of ARPA funds.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they are, I gotta get the words right as far as it all, but when they're low to moderate income, they're presumed eligible.
Mm-hmm.
When they're not low to moderate income, you know, you have to have other evidence. And I haven't, at this point, I haven't seen the full applications, mm-hmm. so we could also do a review. And
I think the initial thought here was that there was ample documentation of the impacts to the business from COVID, and the projects are all to address those impacts, and it's reimbursement. So this is equipment, you know, it's different measures than to address the COVID-related impacts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my understanding that that application does cover that.
I'd love to make sure that we're on the same page here, because
yeah.
we don't want this to ever come back and bite us in the butt, you know, because if we have the money in lost revenue, if we need to do it, we can do it. I'd prefer if we could do it through the ARPA itself, and so let's make sure that we share information so that you're seeing what the applications are. So I don't know who has to give it the final approval. Is it you or is it you?
It's so the IRS. It's the Treasury Department.
It's the Treasury Department. Exactly. So who internally is going to...
Well, we will talk some more here.
Okay.
And I think that would be Finance and County Attorney's Office.
Okay.
I agree with that. I think having reviewed the self-certifications and the documentation provided will help us determine whether or not it's something that would invite an OIG audit. That's the question, is like, is the
exactly.
federal government going to come back to us?
And that's exactly
and
what
that's
we don't
why
want.
He's suggesting, well, if it's lost revenue, you don't have to worry about that. But it would be good.
But I'd rather use our lost revenue for things that we definitely can't apply
yeah.
to the ARPA guidelines. So let's try and do this first. If you find any that are flag, then maybe we just pull those couple of flags out and say these ones don't seem like they would go down that road, but the rest of them do. So So I'll let you all figure that out and then just come. There's no major rush for this, right? Because we can always go back and amend where it comes from at some point in the future, right? That we can cut the checks and we can do all that stuff, but then internally we can decide where it's going to be applied to, right? Okay, so let's, you all do your work internally and then just let us know next month if that's feasible that we can move forward with ARPA money for that. Excellent. All right. Great. And then I wanted the committee to note, is there anything more on this?
I have just a question. Do we know when we might start seeing the claims for these recipients come through for payment?
For the existing?
For any of them. We haven't seen anything yet.
So those are in finance, right?
They are. And we are looking to process as quickly as possible. We have absolutely received the invoice. We do have some questions about like what level of review, so we just sort of trying to confirm that, because you know we're used to receiving an invoice and being very thorough, and this, because the comptroller is involved, there may need to be some between finance and comptroller some questions. If you could reach out to the Commissioner of Finance, that would be great.
We do have some small businesses who are contacting us. I know Legislator Levine has somebody, so we'd love to be able to get some answers to our constituents as quickly as possible. So when you know, please let us know. Thank you.
You know, and again, we're even looking to move up the UC to meetings so and present the first payments and
additional UC. Great. I did want to mention that there was a resolution that Legislator Corcoran and I withdrew. It was after a lot of discussion with Amber and looking at the resolution, we just decided it really didn't make sense. And it was more like a shifting of monies that just didn't need to happen. So we just withdrew that. So it was resolution number 435.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we don't have to vote on that. Nothing's happened.
Nope.
So, all right, great. All right, I'm going to move us along now to the ARPA team. If you could tell us a little bit about where things are at.
Yep.
So just so you know where we're going to go with the rest of this meeting, we're going to do the ARPA team, and then we're going to do conversations about the financials tracking, and also I've asked to get a sense of where we're at with each project and what's the value that's remaining at this point, so we have a sense of that, so we can start to look at what are the other potential projects that we might be funding moving forward. All right.
Great. I'm sorry. I'm just waiting for the word one more time. Progress Trackers up has been added to the backup for this committee meeting, and I've added some new things, which I'll lead everybody through. Getting a long welcome. There we go. So I guess I'm going to do some highlights. One is that there are some new sheets. I do believe we are at the right time for an addition to the progress tracker of lost revenue, both what is reported to Treasury, so that is fixed at this point for a use of this, and lost revenue, if there's any questions on that, but that is a designation of the total $34 million funds, which basically allows for more flexibility.
So I'm just going to remind everybody, because we haven't really talked about lost revenue for a while, but there are the ARPA guidelines, we can only fund certain things connected to the ARPA guidelines, but we've also made a claim of lost revenue for a certain amount, so basically that opens us up to fund kind of whatever we want with those monies.
Yeah.
So we don't have to really be following the strict ARPA guidelines. So
you got it. And the term in the final rule for U.S. Treasury is any government service, with a few enumerated things that cannot be used. So you're absolutely right in that it's just entirely more flexible. There's a lot of administrative simplicity sometimes. So we always, we're looking at that when we do our reporting. So this is already reported to Treasury as one highlight, and then anticipated. And I do
you have a line that's missing there, 10? I just wonder if there's anything
on it. No, I think I just
okay, no worries.
Made it. so that it was like a divider.
Fine.
Yeah. Just wanted to make it look nice.
Yeah. What's Nate hiding?
No problem. I can disclose anyway. So, yeah, administrative, CSN, and OSI are all reported to Treasury for lost revenue. And then I think, you know, that does lead us to...
Remind us what CSN means.
Oh, yeah.
Constituent Service Navigator.
Say it again?
Constituent Service Navigator.
Got it. Remember that? Remember that project? Yeah. And OSI, obviously, is the OSI the Trails project that we funded. So
this is the subtotal based on quarter one that has been reported to Treasury. I think what I really wanted the ARPA committee to see was our anticipated, because there are a number of projects out there that will likely need lost revenue. And, you know, we can go into that further, but I just kind of wanted, like, a heads up at this point about these different projects. And then I also, to keep a tally and maybe keep a running tally of what we're talking about, what we anticipate, which could shift, I wanted, you know, a total scene on both reported to Treasury and anticipated, and then also the remaining figure, so we just have some idea of what, you know, what might still be available.
That's interesting that brownfields don't fall under ARPA. Would they? Do they? I would think that they would, but is that a stretch?
Depends on
it's a good question. we're reporting, so we're working on quarter two report right now, and brownfields is going in because we have obligations. We have a contract.
Okay.
And so that hits the point for us where we need to say to Treasury what expenditure code it is under, which is a specific designation about the use of funds. We looked at this, particularly we looked at all the different addresses which are scattered across the county, and we did a look at which ones are like within qualified census tracts, which are would be like a presumption of eligible. That would just be like kind of a gold standard, and that would work. There were only three.
Okay.
It also, when I thought about it, it feels a bit more like a government service. I know that's not fully quantitative, but I guess as a counterpoint, so there's that to consider, but then also as a counterpoint, there is, for like blighted properties that are in low-income neighborhoods that are vacant, yes, you can use ARPA funds even for testing.
So here's my question. Can we split these between lost revenue and ARPA funds?
That's where we get into administrative simplicity in my mind. Sorry to say, but yeah.
So I would say I totally get that.
Yeah.
But if we end up needing to go down that road because we're finding that we don't have enough in lost revenue and we need to shift some things, I'd say if that's in our back pocket that we could split them out. Why are you?
So I have a few thoughts. You're welcome.
Once we report on it as lost revenue, it's hard to go back.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
It's hard to go back.
Okay.
So honestly, going forward, I want us to spend more time looking at this. Like, I think we're in agreement on that.
When do you have to claim where it's going to lost revenue?
When we report. And the earliest point at when we report is when we have a contract, so we're obligated. And of course, 2024 is a year and a half away or so. So
right.
Getting things in as obligated is a good thing to do.
Anybody know where things are going with Congress? Is anybody pushing to claw any of this money back at this point? I haven't heard anything about that. No? Okay. Did you want
to
say something?
Yeah, wanted to just ask. We had met with the external auditors to talk about recognizing the revenue, and it's going to require a legislative resolution to recognize the lost revenue for the lost revenue recognition. So
okay.
You guys are going to have to approve a resolution for that. Right now it's $3.1 million, but assuming more, isn't that your?
Well, so we have done. There's a, sorry, this gets a little complicated, but the lost revenue we've claimed, and this is all in the final rule and all part of the ARPA regulations, but there is a full mathematical formula put forth by U.S. Treasury about how this is done. Mm-hmm. And it's done every year.
Okay.
So, and we will do it to 2026, I believe. Mm-hmm. We've done it. We're waiting to do it for 2022 because the books haven't closed. But we realized a loss for the county in 2020 of about $14,031,357. Mm-hmm. That has been put into our reporting, so effectively designated to U.S. Treasury.
Okay.
I'm talking about how we treat it in the accounting system. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's still sitting on the books as a liability and not as revenue to the county. So when we met with the auditors, they were saying there's going to have to be a legislative resolution to enable us to make that change. Is that your understanding?
Yeah,
Charles?
That's correct. Amber, you were there as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe she said that as long as you propose a resolution and pass it to recognize the revenue, that'll give you some relief, I think.
So why don't we just do that? Right? I mean, is there any negative to doing that? The number's not going to change, right? It's always going to be that $14 million.
Well, or for the 3.1, for what you've already...
Okay. All right. So it's not like we're...
Well, here's the thing. You could go back and say that you use these on 2020 expenses, if I understand this correctly, Nate, right?
Yep.
So this 2020 lost revenue could be applied to prior, very broad, with a few exceptions, as you said, very broad expenses. I mean, payroll. So you really can use this for just about anything. You just need to pass a resolution to recognize that revenue.
But you're saying we have to pass a resolution for things that have already been reported to Treasury or for the entire amount?
No, Nate would need to report, the remaining amount of lost revenue as, we're going to go back and use this against general expenses of 2021. You'll find something. I mean, there's plenty there. Because it's so broad what you can use lost revenue for, and because you can use it for prior periods, right?
I think Legislator Criswell is asking, do we have to do it in pieces
Correct.
As we determine what we want to report to Treasury, or can we do the whole $14 million at one time?
I'm hearing two different things going on here. What I'm hearing is that we've got reporting to Treasury, and we're saying that we've already used $3 million and change for these projects, right? But what we're also saying is that we as a county have assumed $14 million of lost revenue. So there has to be a reckoning of that, which says, okay, $14 million in lost revenue because of payroll or because of whatever. So that's almost like a different thing than what's happening here with the report to Treasury, right?
I can answer
okay.
that. So the requirement in Treasury is two-part.
Mm-hmm.
It's to say you have a revenue loss,
mm-hmm.
which is calculated per their rules,
mm-hmm.
and then to say this is how we spent that money.
Mm-hmm.
This is how that revenue loss went to
mm-hmm.
county services in some way, shape, or form. So it's two parts.
Okay.
Revenue loss and then the qualifying expense.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's happening here is the tracking of what the legislature has already authorized
mm-hmm.
as being designated for ARPA funds.
Right.
If the recording were to be done to reduce the liability,
mm-hmm.
those would not be the qualifying things. Those would then come from fund balance.
Got it. And what's the pro and con of having it come from fund balance?
It's more confrontational.
Right, right. So what's our pressure to make that happen from your perspective, Comptroller?
I view putting it into fund balance as relieving you of the obligation to spend this money by the sunset of the program, right? So you relieve yourself of having to have all this money out the door.
Yeah, but I appreciate what Clerk Feaster's saying, because if we put it into fund balance, then it becomes sort of more general money that can go away if decided upon. Right now, it's really locked into ARPA spending.
Well, that's not necessarily true, because you can designate fund balance to be used for specific purposes.
Yeah, but then I'd have to argue to the legislature to get it designated for the fund balance to get it designated back to ARPA, and they'd say, why are you doing that? It's already there.
I just think as we get closer to the 24 or 26 deadlines,
right,
you're going to start to see it really hard to get this money out the door and spent in a way that meets the terms of the program. And anything you have remaining in lost revenue are funds that we can shelter from this onerous reporting requirement from the federal government.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like something worth thinking
about. I totally hear what you're saying. I think what I want to do is put this on the back burner until next year, mid-year. Let's pick it up in like June or something. Because then that gives us plenty of time to do what we need to do. But for right now, this money is locked in ARPA funds. We don't have to think about fund balance. We don't have to think about anybody else trying to appropriate it for something else. Like, is that seem problematic? Or, like, is 6 months going to make a difference in terms of...
Probably not. I mean, like we said, you know, they did shoot down the talk about clawing back.
Right.
This would protect you from any potential future clawback.
So what I'm going to do is I'll keep my eyes out. You keep your eyes out. If there's anything bubbling in Congress that anybody's trying to push forward with this, I think they've got other fish frying with election year happening. So I doubt. Who knows? Who knows what could happen? But yeah, I think for now let's just keep things as they are, and then we'll pick this back up again in mid-year.
And just maybe in the meantime, we can kind of like see what other counties are thinking about doing, or how they're going to approach it, what they're planning to do.
That's a good idea.
They're a loss revenue.
That's a good idea. All right.
Can I do one other? I got another sheet that I added.
How exciting.
All right. Thank you for the discussion. That's okay.
Sewer water.
All right. So.
Which one was the new one?
Just not lose track of where I want to be. So I'm moving. Yes, thank you. Parks.
There it is.
Okay. So there's not a lot to share here, but just letting the committee know that we are getting set up and we have a contract tracker. We have a sheet just like we did for sewer and water, just like we did for nonprofits. I'll just highlight those. That's nonprofits. That's sewer and water. And then now we're just getting ready and preparing contracts. So we are just getting organized, and we have all the, you know, these will be intermunicipal agreements, so we're going to go through the same process. We will use the same green lines to show where we are, and these will be coming for approval to the legislature. So,
do you have a sense of when we're going to start seeing contracts?
I think we, you know, each month we have a deadline to hit, and we certainly hope to get something in for next month, but we...
And how are you prioritizing who's first on this list here?
Do you
need
to know
that? By timeline date, so whoever came first in the timelines.
So I'm just going to push on this one a little bit. So is there... Do any of them have projects that are ready right this second, that need the money right this second, that and there's others that are like, this is a dream that we have, we've got some money set aside, but, you know, I mean, I'm being a little jokey, but I'm actually serious, you know, like, if there are projects that need...
The building season is...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that is another consideration. We did talk about it with Laura in the county executive's office.
Right.
Her input was to go back to... I think the earliest timeline that someone anticipated was, it's in 2023, because they're allowed to claim expenses back to February 27th of 2023.
Okay.
So some of them predate, you know, right now.
Okay. Right. So we're talking about the same thing, basically. We're talking about really, like, whoever's ready to go, getting them out the door as quickly as possible.
Unless there's some flag in there when we start going through the contract, then, you know,
shift
people around. But
I think that's the right way to go. As committee members feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Great.
Shovels in the ground as soon as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. We need that. We need Legislator Levine out there getting his photograph taken with a little hat on and a shovel, right?
That and whoever's legislators are on this committee, their town should be looked at pretty first.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just going to scroll through and see if there's any highlights I can provide to you. So I'm going to brownfields first here. The vendor has signed, so we have a sign.
Can we actually talk about agriculture crisis relief? Yeah, let's just cruise through them all and see where we're at.
Agricultural crisis relief, that is a funding allocation. So there would need to be a staff hired is really the first step. And actually, I should probably amend this because I don't see that this has... The funding has been provided for the staff and the funding has been provided for the program, but the staff has not been hired. So that's a major first step.
So is the job description out there? Are we collecting resumes? Is that actually, I mean, this is...
an economic development.
Right.
Right. So this is, right, this is being led by economic development.
Okay.
I don't have
so, idea. So...
the job is up, though.
We need to get our foot on the gas for all these. And I know this isn't all you. And I know that you are totally, that there's a lot going on your plate, but I need to start putting pressure in other places to say, why isn't this happening? Where is it at? How many resumes have you collected? When's the interview going to happen? You know, so I need to go through all these and figure out how I can start making phone calls and getting things moving because it's slow, you know, and I know this isn't you all. I know that.
The money's in I just want to clarify. Yeah, some of your points. The money's in operating, and that money in the operating budget is with economic development.
Right.
You know, we as the ARPA committee will still have a hand, but... just kind of a reach out to our economic development.
If I could just say,
yes.
Both for agricultural relief and Main Streets, if these programs are slated to go through USEDA, I am going to be vocal that organization is not ready to handle additional funds.
Right.
So we can hire somebody, but if we're planning to pass four more million dollars through there, that's not okay right now.
So
they have the
is this through USEDA?
No, it is not.
Right, I was going to say, that's all not, right. Yeah. I think the only thing that we have in here that's USEDA is the solar, right? And Boost for Main Streets. No, solar's not. It's Boost for Main Streets, I think, is the only one.
So will there be business grants out of this program?
There are a number of things. One of the reasons that a new staff hire was chosen through this is that there are a number of different, I think it was like three major areas in the remaining 1.8 plus funds, which would require. I mean, it's a program with three different arms essentially,
right.
And that's going to require some help. So.
Yeah, I think the concept was to get the staffer in place and to say, here's what we've been talking about. Let's get some folks together from the different entities around the county. Let's make some recommendations and then see where this funding should actually go.
So maybe an outside entity like Cornell Cooperative.
I think it's wide open right now about what's going to happen with it. So, but I hear your concerns for sure.
Thank you.
Does anybody else know anything more about this one? Okay. All right.
No,
thanks. And I think we're also in a bit of a stall because we have a new director of economic development who has to get up to speed. And you know, does he even know about this program? Does he know about any of these big programs that we're talking about? So I think we have to figure that out as well. So it wouldn't be a bad idea, actually, if some of our ARPA committee, if we met with this new director and just talked to him a little bit about some of the ARPA programs and what our vision was when we funded it initially. So that'd be great.
All right. Brownfields, we have two contracts. One is fully signed. Labella has done a bunch of work with the on-site visits are completed. We also have a vendor side contract with B&L. So that is, you see ACD here. Our B contract, which is eight different properties, if I remember correctly, is moving along. Not fully signed, but we resolved all. There was a delay with working out contract language, vendor signed, and directors have signed, and now it should be going into new work. So
So I just want to talk about real work. So we are now almost in August.
Yeah.
You know, pretty soon it's going to get cold, and I want to make sure that we're doing work when we still can. As somebody just said, you know, when the shovels can still get in the ground. So that'd be great to get a sense of once those contracts are signed, what does that mean in terms of cleanup? Are we talking 23? Are we talking 24? Just so we have a realistic sense when we're talking with folks about what these projects are. Like, yeah, we expect spring of 24 is when these are going to happen or something, you know? So it still feels a little bit like amorphous. Like, yeah. When's this going to happen?
Well, so the phase ones I would expect can happen within what's left in the year. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be, you know, once we get all the phase one reports, which is going to be a lot of documentation, then there's going to be further things to consider about. So that's why I would think phase two is looking like.
Can I ask you, when you have a moment to add to the spreadsheet next to phase one investigations, just put a parenthesis in the number of investigations there?
Yeah.
And phase two and the number there. So we have a sense of, we've got eight that are going to be done. We're hoping eight are going to be done by the end of 23.
No problem. You
know? All right.
also, I have scheduled a meeting with the new deputy director of planning, who I hope is able to take a project lead role with brownfields and with food security and access, which could be a help to us.
Okay.
Crisis Stabilization Center. I do get emails and updates on the status of the plans for the first floor, which are close. I also know that DPW has done a lot of work on the fourth floor renovation, but that's about what I know at the moment.
Again, it would be great to know, like, or just even a guesstimation of when people are going to start to be actually using that facility. That would be great.
Elizabeth Manor I included in here, but I think we all know the status of that. If you don't mind, I'm going to unless there's any questions, I'm going to keep going on that. Food security and access, we are still, it's been a struggle to get to the drafting portion of that contract, where we will have a subrecipient agreement with Community Foundation of the Hudson Valley. I expect, because we're about more than halfway drafted, I would say, on that contract, that will go in, as it does need a contract resolution. Mm-hmm. So this is $275,000 that has been approved as part of the total $350,000.
Yep.
And that contract will be a grant program that will be run by Community Foundation of the Hudson Valley, and the contract needs approval by the legislature, and so we were not able to get it in for this month, but I'm hoping and expect to have it in for next month.
Okay.
All right. Green energy retrofits and job training, both are signed. I did speak with Director Doyle yesterday and understand that is a, Mike Darcy is actually project lead on that, and with assistance from planning, and I understand it's going well. But that's about what I have at the moment. Golden Hill, we are basically looking for closeout on that. We have a final invoice, and that project, a lot's been done. Land Bank is...
We're going to talk about that. Better. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Okay. Legal Services of the Hudson Valley, signed contract. We have had some communications with the vendor, so we know they are starting services. We have not gotten a first invoice yet, though. Okay.
Well, that's good to know that services are happening. So. Yep.
We did discuss Main Streets. That needs the contract to be signed for that to move as a subrecipient contract to UCF.
So let's talk about that just for a second, Comptroller Gallagher. So this is in the works. What do we do about this at this point? You know, I mean, so you're saying you're not comfortable with that.
Absolutely not.
How do we get this? How do we?
I mean, it's a question for the administration. What is going on with that board?
Right.
You know, why don't they have internal procedures and policies? This is going to come out as some of our, you know, recommendations in our audit.
Right.
But they need to do a bunch of governance.
Right.
And they need to have their financials up to date. They don't have, you know, we haven't seen appropriate financials since mid-21.
Right.
For that organization.
So committee, I mean, this is something we need to figure out, you know, is this something that, because we could hear the comptroller and we could just say, we're going to move this along and we're going
to
do it.
Yeah, and I think the administration is working to rectify this. So it's a timing issue. Hopefully this is rectified before you need to move this money.
Right.
Or have this organization sign a contract with you. And, you know, I think they're moving in that direction. But it's right now, no, you will have the comptroller issuing press releases saying, I think this is a terrible idea.
Got it. Yeah, great. I'm conflicted because this has been sitting, you know, waiting for this to happen, and now the contract is almost done. It's ready to get signed, but we've got this issue. So, like, what's the feeling from the committee? Like, do we?
What's the option? You going somewhere else, or what do you think? I mean,
listen, this organization needs to be cleaned up.
Like, yeah.
And so what leverage? I have no leverage except to say publicly that this is a problem.
So I guess what Legislator Corcoran is saying, do we have other options? Can we go to, like, the IDA? Can we go to other entities that do this type of thing?
Yeah. I think the IDA could do it. I think you could allocate it to municipalities. That would be a nightmare. You could allocate it to another economic development entity. Like, I don't know if the Small Business Development Center would be interested in doing it. I don't know if the Women's Enterprise Development Center would be interested in doing it. The Hudson Valley Economic Development.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do we have track record with some of these organizations and seen them do? This is a big project. So I don't want to be experimenting with a big project on an organization that we don't know. We could end up in a worse spot, you know, and that I don't want to do. So,
well, the IDA board is appointed by the legislature.
Right.
I was going to say the IDA.
We have a little control.
At this point, would be the, if that's our option. Yeah. Thank you. I'd like to see it go that way. Yeah, that would be my preferred spot, because, you know, 100% right. I mean, that it's a nightmare over there. We see what happened.
Can they take this on now? Do we know what's I don't know what's happening with they just met, I think, this morning.
Yeah,
right. So, because aren't they doing restaffing, and aren't they?
Well, they're the executive director. They're looking for an executive director.
Right.
Maybe this is a conversation that we broach with them, with the board, to see if it's something that they feel they can take on.
Right. Right.
You know, they have restrictions too, right? So they may feel like they need to run it by their council. Or
what we could do is we could just put a pause on this for the moment and wait until the comptroller and team feels more comfortable with USITA. Which, what are we talking at this place? Are we talking a month? Are we talking 2 months? We don't know, but, you know, I mean, none of those contracts are going to be ready for any sort of real work this year. We're talking next year for sure, right, with this?
If you're talking about contracts with awardees, is that
right,
what you're saying? I got it. Yeah, I think, you know, looking at the time frame of being obligated by both the county and subrecipient by the end of 2024,
mm-hmm.
it's a lift.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, see, because there's the pressure from the other end, you know, that we've got to get this moving. So,
24.
And we have a new director of economic development. We don't know.
Has lots of moving pieces here.
Lots of moving pieces.
I mean,
so,
just from where I sit, verbal assurances are not going to work anymore, because I've been getting those for over 6 months that this organization is going to be brought on track, that it's going to be, you know, we're going to have financials, that they're going to go outside. And I know things are just going slower than they want.
Right.
I know the administration is not trying to stall fixing it.
Right,
so
right.
I just think it's a timing issue, and if you can come back to it in another 30 days, right, your next meeting is in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I think what I'd like to do is let's look into IDA, just have a conversation. I'm going to have more conversations with Amanda about USITA and where things seem to be there. And I think, you know, the contract's not going to be in front of us anyway right now. So, I think we just need to kind of keep this in this holding pattern. But thank you for that. And, you know, but it's like holding pattern and putting on the gas at the same time. That's a complicated thing to do, but we kind of have to do that. So, you know, the least we can do is get the contract straightened out, and whether whether it says UCITA or whether it says IDA, you know, insert provider here kind of thing. But at least the contract itself can be, you know, make sure that our legislative intent is clear, make sure that, you know, the scope of service is really what we've been thinking about, that type of thing. So we can at least get that moving.
All right. I'm going to just make this a little smaller so we can see more.
Can I ask one question?
No.
Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm just curious if we could have our vendors or providers that are working on our contracts give us like an update monthly or quarterly as to like where we are, just so that we, you know, it's not Nate like being like I'm waiting for an email or I just got an email or whatever. It's like, you know, they should be reporting to us like this is where we're at with the project. So I don't know,
so I think we'd have to do that through the department heads, right? I mean, that, or through the deputy executives whose departments it is. So I think that's a request. Is that correct? I mean, was that...
So you have some that are with subrecipients and some that are being managed by departments when they're within county. And contracts have... We typically always put a reporting structure in the subrecipient contracts. We do get reports, but not... It's not like 100% compliance all the time.
You know what would be helpful for me is to better understand which ones have subrecipient contracts. But, you know, I think I kind of know, but like, it'd be great to actually get a sense of that and get a sense of, okay, so now if we want information, we have to go to this party, you know, that type of thing. And if there is a some sort of reporting clause in it, if we could just know what that is, so that we can have a better sense of what the expectation of the subrecipient is. You know, if we said to them, you need to report once a year, and then we go back and say we want you to report monthly, they could just go back to their contract and say that wasn't part of our contract, you know. But we just need to know what the language is, and we could probably just, you know, ask them nicely to give us an update, you know, what's happening with this money. So
It may help. I'm just thinking of a simplified way to put that into the progress report. I think we should probably have, whether it's a department or the name of the subrecipient, we should, you know, under each one of these major columns, we should just have project lead.
Great. Perfect.
That would be helpful.
That'd be
helpful.
Great. Okay. That'd be really great.
No problem.
All right. Thank you, Legislator Sperry.
And so nonprofit, those are our numbers. We do continue to process invoices. It's coming along. It seems to be moving steady.
Is there still anybody who hasn't responded to you? That's good.
Okay.
Yeah, we got them.
Good job.
And there is.
Who would have thought that? Who would have thought? You know, the money is hard to give out. We got money for you. And
yeah, and I did want to, just a thought on this nonprofit. The end game is really where we are getting towards with this program. We are about, on our first batch of contracts with nonprofits, we're almost within, I think it's like early December when those contracts end. Mm-hmm. So, and that's only a portion of some of the contracts. Right. But we are watching for, you know, wrapping things up as we get close to the end of contract date.
And will you update this to reflect the two nonprofits? Well, it's actually really just one, because one was already a recipient. Mm-hmm. So it will become 50, right?
No, it's going from 50 to 49. Wait, what?
We're taking two from the UCITA.
So it'll be 51.
It'll be 50.
Don't
because
listen to me.
It'll be 50 because one of them already received nonprofit funding, and what we're going to do is just revise their contract to give them a little bump that was in the in the UCITA. So it will be 50 out of 50, right?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll have to look at an additional contract, but we can make this all work.
Okay, great. So,
OSI trails, we did put in two of the, on the other trails, we submitted the two invoices for payment for pre-development work on the other two trails. I know this probably looks a lot like last month, but we also are just buttoning up some recordings for the first trail to fully close that out, and mm-hmm. then we'll probably put it, we have an invoice for construction funding on one of the other trails, and
okay.
are working on all that.
Okay, great.
I think you generally know the status of Parks Grants Program, unless there's any questions.
Yeah. Nope, not right now. Any questions from anybody else?
No. Appreciate the added tab and for making sure we can keep track of that and everything. So that's quite helpful.
114 Route 28, this is the old Quality Inn. I did send an email to the town of Ulster supervisor, and I think it's time for an update to know more about where we are.
Yeah, because I've been seeing stuff in the news about other water and sewer projects in that same area, like Moonburger is right. asking for stuff.
That
like
is that. The sewer district that will be extended, right. so that's, that does yeah. apply.
Right, exactly.
I noted that one today, too. I don't have any further information from regarding respite houses. Sorry to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to push on that, just so you know.
Well, I mean, what is, like, I thought a couple months ago it was that there was one site that had been maybe...
Last I heard, there's been an RFP, I believe there's been an award, and there is a potential operator, and I believe that potential operator is looking for sites, but I don't know the status of what they've okay. found or not found.
Who's the potential operator? People?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's people.
Yep. Say. That's my understanding. So I'll get more information on this and push. You pushed it.
Because we can help if we can help, you know.
Yeah.
So sewer and water grant program, we've kind of divvied up between the three of us some of the projects we're more directly managing. This one's on my plate. I'm glad that we have fully signed and back to the vendors, 6 out of 13. I've also been buttoning up some issues regarding insurance. There was a question about what level of pollution liability insurance was needed for some contracts, and basically eager to get. I'm also getting, so the remaining half, let's say, it comes down to some issues I'm buttoning up. Also just going along the line of what's chronological is mm-hmm. kind of how I've been working. And I'm just eager to get more of those back to, yep. signed and back to.
That'd be great.
The municipalities. Silver Gardens, I did have a meeting with RUPCO. General time frame, I've heard from them that they're expecting to close in November mm-hmm. of this year, which would be wonderful because I think, you know, and I, part of the meeting I had with RUPCO was Ashley and I were part of it, and we met with RUPCO's attorney, who is a specialized attorney in 9% closings. So speaking to them, particularly because the county is going to have both a contract to fund this project, mm-hmm. which will be one of a number of different sources of funds, and we'll have a recapture agreement for 30 years mm-hmm. Per resolution. You know, we were working to figure out those mm-hmm. details. It's
so I want to just make a general statement about contracts. So mm-hmm. right now we have a legislature that has been hearing about these ARPA projects. They're really sort of steeped in it. They've heard the process. We're going to have a new legislature, a lot of new people. I want to make sure that we have as many contracts done, signed through the legislature before the end of this session as we can. I mean, I'm happy to have, as open conversations with all the new legislators, but there's going to be a learning curve uh-huh. for people, and they're going to want to know what's this contract and why and what are we doing. And so I think the more that we can front load contracts and get them out the door before the next session, let's try and do that, you know. So
good point.
Yep. All right.
think we all know the status of small business.
Yep.
Keep going. And then there's the solar program, which I know we've discussed. That would be a county-run program. Generally, with our division, we've been kind of eyeing it as something we need to get to past parks, but we have a lot at the moment.
Yeah. And some of these projects, I think, too, you know, we should look at the... I mean, many of them are in the same dollar amount, but the more that we can get done, contracted, you know, mm-hmm. set through that process, then the less worry we have about any sort of clawback or any sort of problematic, you know, the reporting stuff later. So, and I appreciate all the work you're all doing. So I know we look at this and it's, you know, it's a spreadsheet, but it's for you, it's like hours and hours and hours of work every day. So thank you for that. Appreciate that. Any questions for Nate and team? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sorry for saying in team, but it's just easier. All right. I'm going to move us along then. And ARPA financial tracker. So... what do we want to talk about with that today? Do we have anything? I don't think we have anything.
Unless
there's no
you
real.
Mention the comparison.
Oh yeah, I asked Amber to go back, and early on, she provided us a comparison with sort of like-sized counties, mm-hmm. and I thought that was really great information. So I've asked her to update that with the projects that we've now seen moving forward, and so we're going to mm-hmm. get an updated version of that. Us, and it was like five other counties or something, or six counties, something like that. But it was really great to see like what we were spending on and what they were spending on, and do a little comparison of that. I thought that was cool. So thank you.
All
for
that color.
Color coded and everything.
It was really nice. So.
But it's in the OneDrive though.
Oh, okay, great.
It's in the OneDrive. We don't want to spend all the money on printing all that color.
All right. It's getting a little later, so I'm going to move us along here. So. I want to talk a little bit about open projects, basically money remaining. You know, we've been sort of talking about this, and what we've calculated so far is that in the parks program, there's still $568,000 that has not been allocated. In the water and sewer program, there's $358,000. In the small business, is this correct that it's $23,000?
Yes.
$23,000 in small business. Nonprofit, we still have $14,000. Is that correct? Do we still have $14,000 in the small?
Updated as of today's authorized resolutions.
Hmm.
For the additional small businesses coming in from CARES too.
Yes.
So there was basically nothing in that.
Right.
And now we've offered it.
Got it.
So Nate, if you pull up on
I did see some notation. I don't want to look at that a little more, but maybe
okay.
You just help me understand because it's just new.
You know what? I'm actually going to move us forward on this because I think it's a small amount and it's sort of like a transfer from one to the other. Is that correct? Or
no.
Did you think? Oh, you think that there's actually monies that are left over mm-hmm. in the nonprofit? So there's a. So you're saying no. You're saying yes.
Well, there's stuff right in there right now because we haven't spent it yet.
But it's.
So you're saying that those awards are incorrect?
I'm sorry.
Can we just have a month to like
yes.
get that closer? There's
absolutely.
There's a lot of things happening and with two new things coming in and
I think I know.
If you know,
can you just
go
scroll
for
up
it, but
really fast?
Scroll up.
Yeah, they're gonna do same job next week. Can you find Chine Hill?
Yeah, there was something that happened with Chine Hill. We're in alphabetical order,
there it is.
No, that's the library.
That's the library.
So the Pine Hill Community Center.
Right there.
Yep, so that's going to be the problem, not the problem, but they're getting an amendment to their contract.
Remember we increased it? We increased Pine Hill? So it's going to be an amended contract.
Yeah. Right.
And wasn't the library a business?
It wasn't a nonprofit underneath the designated 501c3. Category.
Right, but they had a fiscal sponsor, didn't they?
We were trying to have them get a fiscal mm-hmm. sponsor, but they weren't able to do it in time, or they didn't, I don't know, they weren't really getting back to us on that. So we ended up reallocating their award to Pine Hill.
Got it, right.
Not for lack of trying on your end. You were...
Right.
I know.
I called them a lot.
Okay, we'll
send you the updated, like, my spreadsheet.
That'd be great if you two could figure that out. Jail demolition, we still have $135,000 in that. And then there's still monies in several of the contracts that we are assuming we're going to use, but we haven't used that. So Crisis Stabilization Center still has $768,000. The crisis relief has $1,800,000, almost $1,900,000. Solar has $2,500,000. Land bank has $1,000,000, and the respite houses has $1,500,000. So, of that first set that I said, that was almost $1,000,000 from parks, sewer, and jail demolition, and then these other small ones. So. What we have to decide, basically, at some point, is are we going to pull the money from those designated funds and put them into, like, back on the table again? Or are we going to go back out and do another round of asks for those monies? So I don't think we have to have that discussion today, but we should be thinking about this because the clock is ticking. And we're going to want to, if we're going to, you know, assign these, we're going to have to do it at some point in the not too far future. My question about the land bank is it even going to happen or not? So, I'm feeling hesitant about keeping that $1,000,000 in there.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money
put to other things. What is the latest update on that? What was the last communication we got on that, which was like...
I think it's really just the Supreme Court issue, you know, ruling came down. Basically, I think the whole concept of land banks is in a question right now, you know, because you can't be foreclosing. And so, I think the question is sitting with the executive right now, you know, and does she want to continue trying to push this land bank or not? And so I'll continue that conversation and see where we can go with that, because if we can... If it needs to move out of this this designation, then we should do that, and we should figure something else out.
Is there a possibility of getting like a breakdown of a timeline? Like, okay, money needs to be spent by this date. We have these projects; they haven't been allocated. Should we make a decision in within 3 months to pull the land bank money and realign it somewhere else? Blah blah blah.
Yeah. What's our time frame in terms of when we have to obligate? Is it obligate the word?
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
End of
2024. So end of 2024. It has to be spent by then.
Well, obligated by then. Okay. It has to be spent by 20 end of 26. So we actually do still have a year and a half to obligate all the funds.
I think the point might be, though, is how long do we let that hang on?
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
How long do we let that land bank?
So I think as a committee, we can make that decision and say, we're going to give this another 2 months, and then we're going to pull the plug on this project, and we're going to move it to something else.
The land bank one is not the only one that we have.
Correct.
So that's what I'm saying is, like, can we get a timeline that's like, okay, in 3 months, we need to make a decision about these three or four.
Right. So what I'll do is I'll work with Amber. We're going to put together our list of what's we already have this list, but I'll go through and I'll put some reasonable time frames around it, and then we can have a discussion. How does that sound for next month? Mm-hmm. All right. Great.
Because adding everything up, it's you know, not pennies.
Agreed. And so, Legislator Roberts came to me with an interesting project, which I thought was interesting, but the possible use of this money for sidewalks, which is actually, from what I've seen now, I did some research, other municipalities have actually used this money for sidewalks.
Did the team? I want to say, did one of the municipalities put in something for the parks program for that, and it wasn't eligible, right? For
it is eligible.
Oh, is
but
it?
If it's like bettering, like getting to a green space or a park, it was eligible.
Right, but I think in general, there were several municipalities that I saw used ARPA funds for sidewalk and drainage improvement. I'd have to look. I'd have to look more at the rules and see what's what what it talks about in terms of sidewalks there. But to me, that's a worthy project. Another worthy project, I thought, is, of course, emergency housing is on all of our minds. You know, how could we use this money for emergency housing? Comptroller Galley?
I think that's if you're willing to entertain it, the Commission for Digital Inclusion would definitely have some ideas about ways to expand access, digital access. They have a digital inclusion budget that commission is going to look at and modify and approve on August 1st, and it has like some really things that are outside of the box, right? So, for example, it has digital literacy training in Ketchy and Spanish,
mm-hmm.
digital literacy training for seniors,
mm-hmm.
Equipment upgrades for people who have like really old equipment, things that you wouldn't normally think about funding and that the federal broadband money may not cover.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
Who's that?
It's the commission that I had convened, that Citizens Commission for Digital Inclusion. Yeah.
And I still have our, thank you very much for that. I still have our old list that I've been hanging on to and updating, and it included
priorities.
Included commissary kitchens. It included workforce development programming, specifically focused on film, nursing, EMT, home health care, and child care. Broadband, I had a question on because I said money from the feds, you know, what's there. Meat processing facility, bus shelters, emergency housing I just added on, sidewalks I added on. Was there anything else that you all remember from, I think those are the ones that we talked about mostly, so.
You're right.
So anyway, we've got a list. We definitely have this ongoing list, and so I think we need to make some decisions about the money, and then dust off our list and see where our priorities land. And I think I thought we did a really good job of going out to the full legislature and asking them multiple times, "What's your wish list?" So I kind of feel like we're okay if we just kind of make some decisions here, as long as they're strong and really support the funding desire for ARPA, you know, like if it's within the guidelines, if it's in the COVID relief, I think that we could probably sell it pretty well. So but I do think we need to get it moving and start really thinking about what the rest of these monies can be used for. So did you have an update for us for Village Acceleration?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to be meeting with the mayor and a number of the members of the village board, and I believe somebody from village planning next week regarding the wastewater treatment facility that they're looking for potentially some of our ARPA money for, and hopefully I will have an update at that point in terms of. I have a feeling we're not going to be able to. be able to grant every dollar that they're going to need for this project, mm-hmm. but I think anything that they get from us, if possible, would be welcome. So, but I will have more information in terms of exactly how much they're needing.
And they haven't gotten anything from the water and sewer program.
They have not.
Right. Okay. So I just want to make sure that we're not.
I don't know why they didn't put. I'm still trying to get to the bottom of why they.
Because what we had talked about was making sure that any municipality that didn't get funded got in front of the line, and then if we wanted to go for a third round, there could be the possibility of municipalities that already got funded for this to go for a third round. So, but we still need to talk about them. So. All right, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Anybody else have anything? No? All right, motion to adjourn.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. See you in August.